He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got a down day to open up a new week after a record-setting week last week where you had all three indexes close at all-time highs. During the week. Right now, the Dow is down 101. That's a quarter of a percent. That puts the Dow at 39,374. The NASDAQ is down 59 right now. That's about a third of a percent to the downside. It's at 16,369. The S&P is down 11 to 5223. That's about 0.2% to the downside. Small caps are up 0.75%. I'll have to look into that. That's the Russell 2000, see if there's any stocks that are standing out there. Crude oil is up $1.07 today to $81.70. That's inflationary. The gold markets are, I think that's a new all-time high, up $18 per ounce to $21.77. The 10-year's up 2 basis points to 4.24, and Bitcoin is up $2,359. That's $2,359 to $67,828. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And what we've got going so far is a down day in the market. We had all-time highs last week in the market on all three indexes. I would look for a little bit of flattening out here in the markets this week. What it remains to be seen, because it's very difficult to measure the euphoria part that we've had in the market, mostly coming from AI. Although recently the most crowded trade in the market has been the oil stocks. And there is news on the energy patch today. You're up another $1.07. The U.S. is telling Ukraine to stop bombing Russian refineries because it's raising the price of oil. It must be an election year, because normally we would be telling Ukraine to do whatever you got to do, right, to halt Russia. But that's one of the reasons why oil prices have been going up, as many Russian refineries have been compromised here recently by some suspicious explosions. Well, we finished at all-time highs, like I say, last week. In fact, the NASDAQ on Friday finished at 16,429. And that's an all-time high for the tech-heavy NASDAQ. And the Dow did not finish at an all-time high. It finished at an all-time high on Thursday, but Nike took a swipe, took a piece out of the Dow on Friday. NVIDIA closed at an all-time high on Friday. And the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 closed at an all-time high. Now, that's not good. It's 21.55, Barry. 21.55.
I was reading that this in your newsletter this weekend.
That's right. And, you know, the 10-year average is 17.7. 17.7. We're at 21.55. The 5-year average, which is measured more of this low interest rate environment we've had, has been 19. Okay, but we don't belong at 21.55. And of course, that extra E in the forward PE is a bit of euphoria right now in the markets.
And we can only get there. We can only get there two ways, right? In terms of PE ratio, either price has to come down or earnings have to go up. Certainly in this environment, right? In terms of a potential no landing kind of scenario, your earnings growth would still slack off on the back end of that scenario, and so price is really the only one that can move, right?
Well, and now you do the calculations to get back to a 19 forward PE, which is the 5-year average. You would have to go down about 11% from here on the S&P 500, which would take it back into the 4600 range. What I've noticed is, a lot of these big firms, they raise their price targets for the market just based on price action. Forget the multiple and forget the math. It's just because price action. You look pretty stupid if you've got a price target of 4,800 and it's already at 5,200, so they raise their price target so they don't look stupid.
Begrudgingly, they're like, okay.
But push for it me, forward. I've got to have the math to push it forward. I'm using a 19 multiple right now on next year's earnings to establish my 12-month target price. Now, the S&P soared to its best week of the year last year, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah, it snuck up on it, didn't it?
Yeah, the week before, it really looked like I saw so many charts that were leveling off. Maybe I'm a week late in calling for a leveling off in the market. I basically, base that leveling off should happen because of valuations, number one. And number two, technical patterns, which there's a lot of individual stocks that were leveling off. Well, they got new life. You had the NVIDIA news on Tuesday, which was okay. I think the beneficiaries more from the NVIDIA news was not so much NVIDIA as their partners, which they named a lot of different partners that were with them on the AI move. And then, of course, the biggest factor on the market breaking out again last week, maybe for the last time in a while, was the Fed. And we don't have any news. This is not a big news week. We start earnings season here pretty soon, a little over 2 weeks, about 2 weeks from this Thursday. We start earnings season. But we don't have a lot of catalysts. And, of course, the Fed set the market on fire again on Wednesday, Thursday. And then it backed off a little bit on Friday. And it was the news of three rate cuts, which I think has now been priced into the market. So we'll see. But all things being equal, the market should kind of settle down here and consolidate a lot of these gains. In fact, last week, the communication service sector up 4.8%, information technology up 2.9%, and I was mentioning the low-tech sectors, industrials were up 2.9% last week. As it really spread out, the action really spread out on the news from the Fed.
And oil, as you mentioned, you can see it at the gas pump. In recent weeks, it seems like a story that hasn't gotten a lot of hasn't been as sexy to talk about as what AI Woodstock or whatever it was. But
they definitely don't want high oil prices, gasoline prices, as we approach the election. So there's going to be a lot of pressure out there.
Well, you were naming off of Valero and some of the a lot of the refiners towards the end of last week in terms of perking up. And so
that's the most crowded trade now. It's not AI anymore. It's the refinery stocks. Today, the U.S., I've never heard of this before, telling Ukraine, hey, quit bombing Russia's refineries. It's hurting
world
our ratings
gas prices,
here.
Right? Yeah.
It's hurting the polls with the gasoline prices rising. And last but not least, Bitcoin was down 8% last week as its halving event nears. That halving event happens where is it here? I think it's this week. And Bitcoin got as high as 73,800, down 8% last week. Now it's around 66,000. And I have no way, of predicting where Bitcoin is headed from here.
It says estimated date. I don't know if it's an exact date or if it's when they hit a certain number of transactions. I think it's so that, so in other words, the not exactly sure when the date is going to be. I think it's the last estimate I saw was somewhere around the 19th.
Yeah.
So it just depends on, I think it's based on, you know, how, once they finally, you know, get so many, do so many transactions, right, then you have a halving or something of that nature. So, it's certainly coming up, and you know, you've seen the Bitcoin kind of level off a lot.
A little rally here today in Bitcoin. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of news today on individual companies, some of it quite startling. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, something is surging here. We just went from negative, slightly negative on the day, to fairly decent positive move here on the day. I haven't quite seen what it is that's doing it, although I was seeing a turnaround in AMD, which has been under a little bit of pressure here recently. At the in the last quarter of the show, we'll take a look underneath the hood and see what it is, but there's some stocks that must be in that AI sector that are purring here today all of a sudden. Okay, the big news here today, the Boeing CEO going to step down. He's going to retire. Dave Calhoun has had a rough go of it. I'm not sure who's going to take over. There's going to be some other retirements, too. In addition to that, the board, the union wants a seat on the board, which would be kind of unusual. You don't see that very often. And as far as I know, the one here in South Carolina is non-union, and the one in Washington is union. The union, which represents over 30,000 Boeing workers in Washington, began negotiations for a new contract with the plane maker on March 7th. The union is seeking pay hikes of 40% over 3 to 4 years. They say that would solve the quality issues. Pay people more, you won't have as many quality problems. But that's kind of an unusual thing to have a member of the union sitting on the board of directors.
Yeah, I mean, for Calhoun, it's like you can't feel good when the when you get announced that the, you know, you're stepping down, and the stock at one point was up 3% today. It's up about 1.25% at the moment. But you don't want a stock to surge on the fact that you're leaving. Right?
Yeah, the stock right now is up 1.3%. Not a good chart on Boeing. It's been a big underperformer here, but you know management means a lot. Management is very important. That's part of being a best stock now, and the one leading the Dow to the downside, at least as of now. The Dow down 100 points is Intel, down 2.2%. And Apple, which has been having their issues. Now, this is an unusual thing. If you were on that flight where the door blew off, the Alaska Air blowout flight, the FBI wrote the people a letter that were on that flight saying, as a victim specialist with the Seattle Division of the FBI, I'm contacting you because we have identified you as a possible victim of a crime. You ever heard of that before?
No.
That is really unusual. Well, the Department of Justice is investigating this incident, and, you know, obviously they're going in the direction of Boeing's negligence was criminal. And that could open up a whole Pandora's box there.
But liability you, and other things. It could be even,
jail time.
You know, well, and even liability that that's not covered under insurance because it potentially was an illegal act, right?
Yeah. Maybe Calhoun is worried about. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he got advice from his lawyers. You better step down, man. So anyways, that's other news on Boeing. None of it's good. HSBC raises its S&P 500 year-end price target to 5,400. Now, I ask, why? What justifies that? How do you just because the market's going up? Well, they see upside to earnings. I personally don't, okay? I see this year's earnings estimates are for $245 per share for the S&P 500. To get to 5,400, you'd have to come in quite a bit higher than that. You'd have to get up to about $270 a share. I don't see that upside myself, but that's how they justify it. You've got others. I would say the consensus is about 5,300 right now. Of course, we're at 5,200 now. And then you've got a lot of others like Piper Sandler. They're at 5,050. Citigroup's at 5,100, which we've already surpassed. I put out my latest numbers in the newsletter on Saturday. Now, Goldman Sachs bullish scenario. I always like these bullish scenarios. It's kind of like my bullish scenario is if I hit the lottery this year and buy a lottery ticket by chance and hit the lottery, that's the best that could happen. Well, they are saying they see continued mega cap gains with the possible 6,000 close for the S&P 500 for the end of the year. Yeah, well, but their baseline is 5,200. Now, I just don't know how you can have all these different price targets and get away with it, because no matter what happens, you can say, see, I was right, okay?
It was the base case scenario.
bearish scenario, too, which is 4,500. So they've got their bases covered. If it closes anywhere between 4,500 and 6,000, they were right. Well, I wish I could do that on my, my bracketology, my brackets.
Yeah, San Diego State. I think I got. I think I turned Sweet 16 into like Sweet 12, maybe.
Well, 12 out of 16. Okay.
I still have the Elite 8. It's not like the Elite 7 or anything anymore.
Yes.
So I still got some dogs in the hunt.
Yes, and my San Diego State blew out Yale last night, and now you've got a rematch of last year's championship game in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you mentioned that was. It's funny you mentioned that was actually possible last week.
UConn versus SDSU, which was last year's champion game. I think never count the Aztecs out. Okay, let's see. We had the news. How is Trump's stock doing here today? DWAC, where he stands to pocket $3 billion. It's up 9.6% today, and it will be the Trump Media Network, something like that. It's one of the biggest winners in the market again today. It was also on Friday when they voted for it to, change over to a stock from a SPAC. We've also got here China is said to block use of Intel and AMD chips in government computers. Well, I suppose there's a lot of people in China that belong to the government in one way or another, so that's probably a significant number. China adopted guidelines to halt the use of U.S.-made microprocessors from Intel and AMD in government servers and personal computers, the Financial Times reported on Sunday. The guidance also seeks to cut usage of Microsoft's Windows operating system. Well, I wonder what they are going to use.
That's the question.
That's pretty much the bread and butter of it all. I guess they think we're spying on them. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot here to talk about on individual stocks. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the NASDAQ is moving. We've got a couple stocks that are surging. I've figured out why. We went from negative to positive all of a sudden. The NASDAQ is only down 19 now. It was down about 100 not too long ago. And the Dow's down 123. It's mostly Intel and Apple and McDonald's leading the Dow to the downside. The S&P is down 8 points. The small caps are up 0.75%. For us, it's Nvidia. Nvidia, it's the stock of the year. What can I say?
Up over 2%.
And it's up $21 a share, hitting a new all-time high. And, of course, it is our largest position, and it has been since over a year, it's time. And the other one that's surging here today is Supermicrocomputer.
I was going to say, tied to NVIDIA, right?
It's lately, up $88 per share as it gets an upgrade today. And then
the stock's up 9%. I mean, how many days have you looked at that stock and been like, oh, our biggest performer, up 9%?
Yes. Lily's having a pretty good day here, too. So we've surged positive right now, pretty well into the green on the day. All right, well, other news out there in the markets today. There is so much going on. Elon Musk celebrates his Neuralink patient tweets. Okay, so this guy, I'm wondering, skeptical, I guess. He shared an X post, Elon Musk, from the first patient to receive a brain-computer implant developed by his company, of course, Neuralink, calling it the first ever post made just by thinking. Okay, on the one hand, that's a little scary. On the other hand, it's a miracle if it really did happen, like he said. And, of course, this is, as far as I know, it's a quadriplegic.
Yeah, there's a difference in their version is they're basically kind of putting wires into the actual brain, right, versus, you know, you've had some technology like this, not quite to that extent, but would have, like, a chip that would, you know, something that would go on top of the brain. Right, to stimulate, you know, whether you're stimulating a certain part or what have you. But in this instance, it's like, you know, it's kind of, think of little, you know, fingers, right, running through the, you know, through the brain. So it's pretty pretty remarkable, I guess.
Crazy.
One way or the other, depending on how you look at it.
Yes, okay. Qualcomm, Intel, and Google are part of a consortium aimed at going after NVIDIA. Well, it's just a law of the market. When somebody gets a big lead with a product that, like the weight loss drugs, eventually competition will come in. I was reading yesterday about Amgen wanting to get in, and they're going to go in a little bit different direction. They think they can come up with a shot you take once a year. I'd be a little afraid of putting something in my... That's
once
happen.
A year,
yeah,
a whole year
a
version.
Year. No appetite for a year, you know. I would rather start off slowly. And anyways.
work your way into that.
But the AI, obviously, and the chips, you're going to see others take on. AMD, obviously, the number one company that will definitely take on NVIDIA. Jensen Huang's company is at the top of the heap right now. But look out, always keep your eye in that rearview mirror. Here comes Qualcomm, Intel, and Google, part of a consortium aimed at going after NVIDIA to take some of that huge market share that seems to be out there. How about the electric vehicle storm clouds? You see that Fisker's 11 cents today?
Yeah, it's
11 cents per share. And the other one that I find, it's 9 cents now. Well, we should have shorted Fisker. The first time he went public, it went kaput. And now he's going to go kaput again.
It's not an easy business. We say it all the time.
The one that gets a lifeline is Lucid Motors gets $1 billion from its majority stockholder, which is...
Isn't it Saudi Arabia?
Well, it's called the Public Investment Fund, okay? So on the surface, you say, well, who's that? That's probably just a bunch of people out there, maybe the California teachers, who knows? No, it's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the number one holder of Lucid Motors, and they coughed up another $1 billion, which is basically a lifeline.
They've just
been
feeding that company, yeah.
In the meantime, Mizuho downgrades Tesla, Rivian, and NIO, as this is really a struggling sector all of a sudden. This was a sector that everybody thought there was no end to it. How high can these stocks go? Well, you know, I passed a Rivian the other day on Sunday. Rivian's hitting a new, almost a 52-week low. Rivian's gone from $179 per share. This is how much hoopla. This is why I say that enthusiasm is very difficult to, or euphoria is very difficult to measure. But when that euphoria comes out, you better get out of the way. It's gone from $179 to $10 a share.
Wow.
I think Rivian was bigger than all three of the large automakers combined,
right? There was some stat like that whenever it went public and it, you know, value shot up at one particular moment in time. I think you're right, as bigger than the three primary automakers.
Yeah. So that's how that euphoria works, that E. And, you know, I saw as much euphoria towards the end of the COVID year 2020 and the beginning of 2021 when the forward P.E. ratio of the market got up to 23.5. There was as much euphoria, probably the second most that I've seen in my career. The first was by far the NASDAQ.com bubble in the year 2000. But we had euphoria in these stocks that had no business being where they were. Whether it was Bitcoin-related stocks, whether it was, mostly Kathy Wood's portfolio innovation stocks, long duration, and then along came the Fed. I mean, that probably had a lot to do. The Fed was probably looking at that euphoria in the market, knowing that that had to be tamed somehow. That had to come back to earth. And they did it all right with those interest rate hikes in 2021 and 2022. Okay, Supermicrocomputer is initiated with an overweight rating at J.P. Morgan. Well, you know, we have been very, very bullish on Supermicrocomputer. And the only reason that it stalled out here recently was because they came in and did a secondary offering. A secondary offering usually is a bad thing because it dilutes the existing owners. It dilutes the earnings. But if you use the money to build the company, it can also be accretive to earnings down the road. And they have earnings like you can't believe right now. SMCI is expected to make, take this, Rivian, SMCI is expected to make $22 per share this year and $25 per share next year. And we've also made the case for SMCI that their first big blowout quarter just happened. It just happened, at the end of January when they reported earnings, where that those earnings just take off the runway.
And now, the narrative of their fit, right, into the AI ecosystem, if you will, is also one of the things that certainly is benefiting that company.
And if you don't believe me that stocks follow earnings, just take a look as the earnings took off on the runway in early January of this year. This stock broke out in mid-January of this year, and that's the same time that the earnings broke out. And look at what the stock has done since then. It's gone from 300. It went from about 300 to 1,200. It quadrupled during the next couple of months. And we've ridden most of that in SMCI. SMCI is now a $62 billion company, just like that. Just like that.
Crazy.
And now you're starting to get sleepy firms like J.P. Morgan and other sleepy wirehouse firms saying, oh, you know, we better look at this thing. And they upgraded it to an outperform. Their price target is a short-term price target, which makes no sense to me, but that's what they do. Their price target is $1,200, and the stock right now is at $1,047. SMCI, which makes servers. And they run circles around Dell servers. We'll be right back.
But it must be the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's take a look here underneath the surface. Let's peek under the hood of the market. Let's begin today with the NASDAQ, okay? The NASDAQ has come back. The NASDAQ was down about 100 points here this morning. The futures were down this morning. The NASDAQ opened down, even though it closed at an all-time high on Friday, okay? So right now we've got the NASDAQ, which has come back quite a bit, rebounded from its lows. What's the number one stock? Well, you know, this stock had a lot to do with new highs in the NASDAQ last week. Look at Micron again today. So what we found out last week that we didn't really, we hadn't really figured out before, it takes a lot of flash memory,
right,
for AI. Okay, and look at Micron. I call it the stock of the day today. And it was the stock of the day last Thursday when it reported earnings. And I think it points out to the magnitude of just how much is going into, how much money is being spent right now on AI. And, of course, you had Jensen Huang talking about their new version of chips. What was the price tag? $50,000 a chip?
Yeah, and look at that. I mean, look at that chart on Micron, that breakout there. It's crazy.
Yep, and I did update my earnings estimates, my target price on Micron, MU, which in the past has been very much an unpredictable cyclical company. Very unpredictable. Commodity-like, you're trying to predict. You know, flash memory is not as hard to make. There's not as many barriers to entry. And so they've been all over the map with their earnings over the last 10 years.
Well, crazy thing is, I mean, they were basically at an all-time high in literally in 2000, in June of 2000.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of bumped up to it a couple of times around 2021. And then this, you know, this breakout right here all-time high.
Yep,
and literally broke through one of the resistance spots, being back in 2000. When you look at the full chart, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean it's now a $130 billion company, just like that. I mean, It went from about $50 billion to $130 billion. So Micron is up 6.8% today, and I would say that's a big part of why the NASDAQ has rebounded so much. NVIDIA is up 1.6%. There's really not very many winners in the NASDAQ. It's mostly Micron. And Micron is now a much bigger component of the NASDAQ. It has much more influence. NVIDIA is pulling back a little. It's up 1.5%. Let's see. The S&P 500. Well, I got to believe the biggest winner is going to be SMCI. I wonder if I've added SMCI yet to my charts, because they did add Super Microcomputer, SMCI, to the S&P 500 recently, right? Wasn't it SMCI? Yes, it was SMCI.
SMCI, and what was it? Was it Deckers? I think Deckers was the other one.
Deckers Outdoor was the other one.
Yeah,
two that we own. And, you know, that's because of their price appreciation. That's why they're being added, and not because all of a sudden these indexes mostly are your market capitalization. And if we look at the S&P 500, the two biggest winners, or the biggest winners driving it, number one, Super Microcomputer is making a bigger move than Micron. I'm going to call it the runner-up stock of the day. And we have a pretty good-sized position in SMCI. It's up 8.1% today, or $79 per share, mostly on an upgrade from J.P. Morgan. The second best performer in the S&P is Micron. It's up 6.9%. Then there's not really much else there for me in the S&P. Other than those two, the oil stocks are having a decent day. On the downside, United Airlines, you know, they've got issues now where the government is stepping in big time.
Yeah, from a maintenance issue. Remember they had you actually mentioned that tire that fell off, you know, flew off. I think that was a United flight and a handful of other issues. They're under extra scrutiny, which is, you don't want to.
Not
you don't
good.
Want that, right?
No, well, you know, that tends to make clients and passengers look at other airlines. Now, it hasn't reached the magnitude of Boeing's problems, but when the government is stepping in and going to increase scrutiny, and they're not going to allow them to increase their flights to other cities and whatnot, so it is down 5.5%, and then the other loser, I don't know why, Take-Two Interactive is down 5.9%. That's the gaming company. Making computer games. Now in the Dow, we've got the biggest loser right now. The Dow's actually just a couple of stocks are dragging it down. Intel, which has not been doing very well recently. McDonald's, which down 1.6, and then Apple's down 1.1. And of course, Apple, I read that the worst case scenario really for Apple is that they're going to have to pay a huge fine for their antitrust activity with their app store. Who knows? Maybe someday I'll get a big check in the mail. That's my bullish case, you know, is to get a big check in the mail from all the money they've stolen from me, taking 40% of my app money over the last 10 years or whatever it's been. Disney is, get this, Disney's up 2%. That's a great chart, by the way, on Disney. It's breaking out. Disney's also the biggest winner in the Dow this year. Did you know that? It's up 30%.
That's
Caterpillar's
number
two.
You would have got
me
on that one.
Yeah. Caterpillar's number two, 22%. American Express is number three at 21.5%. So those are the biggest winners in the Dow. All right. Well, it's filling up fast for Sarasota. You've got plenty of time, though, to give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. You know, we try to travel to around the country during the course of the year. Minnesota is next on our schedule, and it's a chance you have to meet with us in person while we're there. And you can call Edie to set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. And just to meet with us via phone or Zoom or whatever, virtually, you can go to GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.